Hey there, friends. Welcome to Spitefully Yours with me, Andrea Welker, your resident healthcare advocate. I invite you to join me as we discuss healthcare and the patient experience in a post-COVID world. Get ready for captivating conversations about health, wellness, patient advocacy, and everything in between. Let's redefine what finding good health means together. Listener discretion is advised. Well, folks, it's been a busy week, and I know I'm getting this episode out a little late, but it's because I had a lot going on. I had a few doctor's appointments and things, but none of that matters, really. What does matter instead is what I told you I was going to provide you with, and that was why Arya Stark is my favorite character from Game of Thrones, and how a famous line from this series became one of my mantras during the worst year of my life. Can you guess which one? When Arya Stark was learning how to train with her sword from Cyrio Forel in the first season, Cyrio had taught her how to fight in the Braavos style. And when they were outnumbered, he looked at her and he said, "What do we say to the god of death? Not today." And that is a phrase that she adapted through her entire run of the series. And that is a phrase that I found myself reciting from time to time. And as Arya would go through these different trials and tribulations, one of the phrases that would come up was this one. What do you say to the god of death? Or what do we say to the god of death? Not today. And it was very pivotal for me. It was very profound because it really helped me remember who I was inside the illness that was crushing me and stealing my life from me and my essence. And I would say things like, will this kill me? Not today. Will this keep me from my goals? Not today. Will this, you know, and it just became something I could reference and sink my fangs into and just hold on for dear life, because I knew if I could just keep myself mentally aware and sharp, I could hang on for another day. And there was a lot that happened during that time, but I don't want to get too lost into it. But that's why you're here, right? Well, one night it actually got so bad that the depression started to really get to me. And I was alone, and I just remembered thinking, like, this could all be over. And if you are anyone who's ever dealt with anxiety or depression or mental illness or chronic pain, you know exactly what that phrase means. This could all be over. And I sat there and I thought about it. And I said, you know, not today. I can't do this to myself. I can't do this to people I love. I can't surrender when the odds seem insurmountable, when it seems like I'm outnumbered, when it seems like there's nothing left for me to give. I can't give up. And it kind of became this joke. I would get depressed or feel sorry for myself, or I would just go to this place that I didn't like and where I felt like I was surrounded by this, you know, army of incompetent physicians and people who didn't care and people who were willing to just let me die or just keep stringing me along. And I would look at that and I would think, what do we say to the god of death? Not today. And that helped me remember to hang on every time something bad would happen. And I would just get caught up in that mess of the what ifs or the panics or the fear. And what I would end up having happen was I would say it. So it worked for me, and it was really beneficial and really helpful, and I really enjoyed it. So it makes me want to ask you, what is your, do you have a famous line? Do you have a phrase or a mantra or something that you use to help yourself stay in the game, to help yourself push just a little bit longer? Do you have something that is really resonating with you that you just, it just comes out in a very pure way, like that you just, that phrase is something that you absorbed and it just became part of you? I would love to hear what it is. You know, drop it in the Facebook group, drop it in the comments. you know, wherever you can find myself and the other Spite Squad members. I look forward to hearing about that phrase and why you picked that phrase for your journey. And if you don't have a phrase like that that you can find, I suggest that you find one for yourself, or, you know, think back to when you really needed to be like pumped up, where you know the odds are against you, you know that you're the underdog. What was that time, that action that occurred that really helped you push yourself forward and keep moving forward? Because the worst thing that can happen is when we fear death is that we freeze. The second worst thing that can happen is that we deny that it's happening. And that could be really challenging, you know, to go through that. So think about that. That's the homework for the week. You know, sometimes it gets really rough. So I also want to tell you, don't think for a minute that your journey doesn't matter, and don't think for a minute that it really is that simple either. You know, if you're listening and you're in a different part of your journey and you say, well, that doesn't work. That's not going to help me. You know, today it may not help you, but tomorrow or the next day it might. And so that's something that I ask you to consider, because I respect where you're at on your journey. I respect how hard it is. I respect how frightening and detrimental it is. And I respect that you are here, because if you're here, you're still trying. You're still in the fight. You're still in the game. You're still willing to look the God of death in the eyes and say, not today. And that's what I'm going to ask you to think of going into your week, is that even though you're the underdog, you can make it through this. You can keep going. You can be that person who finds yourself in impossible situations and receive the lucky dice roll that keeps you here. And I hope you do. And in case you can't, there's going to be some mental health links in the comments that I hope, in the show notes, that I hope really help you. Because sometimes it's okay to reach out. Sometimes it's okay to talk about those hard things. We have a really great Facebook group where people can talk about these things. We also have different resources for you to access that are really important as well. That's one thing that you'll always find here, is the willingness to talk about the problems, the fear, how hard it is, what it's like. We don't shy away from those things. That's why there's a listener discretion label. But outside of all of that, let's talk about something else that I want to end on a good note. Because if you're like me, you really like good news, especially when it feels like your health and your life is just completely off course and out of bounds and out of pocket, and you don't know what end is up. 10 years ago, I had a doctor's visit that changed my life, in the fact that it was with a provider who only saw a limited viewpoint of what they thought was the problem. And today I got to officially prove them wrong 10 years later with the same test. And I have to tell you, it felt pretty damn good. And my first reaction, other than anger, was I wanted to go to them and say, do you know what you put me through? Do you know the hell I experienced? Do you know what you did to my partner? Do you know how it made me feel to tell my family that you thought I had this incurable disease that I do not have? The feelings I have made me feel whole. They made me feel, and I'm still going through all those feelings, but they made me feel safe. It made me feel like I was right. So if you're someone who's out there and you're looking at your diagnosis and you're looking at what the medical provider says they think you have, especially when they have not run any tests to give you that information, look them square in the eyes and say, I want a second opinion, because you deserve one. And my diagnosis at that time, or not my diagnosis, but the suggested thing, was a really brutal disease that is just awful. It's an awful way to die, and it's an awful way to live, truthfully. And all they wanted to see was this one little criteria of what they thought that was instead of the full picture of what was going on with me. And I actually sat there in their office and I said, if you let me go home today, I will kill myself. And I will never forget that that provider let me go home. And I called my boyfriend at the time, who is now my husband, and I said, I've got to tell you some things. And I went home and I called my ex-husband who lived next door, and I said, I need you to come and safeguard the house because I am not in a very good place mentally, and I just need to have a fail-safe in case I really, really lose my shit. So he came and he got all the sharp items out of the home, and, you know, I just sat in the reality of how my life was going to change and how I was going to be in a wheelchair and eventually die and all these different things. And eventually they admitted they were wrong. I was actually going to see them for a workman's comp issue. I had been injured on the job and that was a head injury. And I, as a result, received spinal cord damage. And the damage that I had was something that they felt was enacted by this injury, but it had been a disease I had had the whole time. And that's not how that works. You don't just wake up overnight with extreme symptoms of this condition. That's not how that works. It takes years to manifest and break down your body. So I knew about this condition because my family lived with it. But they just did not treat my head injury. And as a result, unfortunately, I had long-term deficits from that that took me a very long time to overcome and adapt to. And if you met me now, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know that I have a brain injury. You wouldn't know any of those things. But if you knew me then compared to now, you would know. You would be able to see it. So I remember, and I'm sorry I'm bouncing around a lot with the story, but it's just so much. This one instance is so much to tell. And it's a lot for me, and I don't want to get too emotional where I stop being able to tell you, because it's also important for providers. We have some amazing providers who and healthcare professionals who listen to this show because they want to learn about our experiences. So part of why this is largely unedited and raw is because I want them to see what our thought processes are like when you have brain injuries, when you have traumatic events that happen, where you go, where you have to compartmentalize mentally to see it. So it basically shattered me and it made me lose all trust in healthcare providers that one moment. And I called my primary doctor at that point, and he had been my doctor for like 10, 20 years at that point. And he treated a lot of my family. And so he kind of was just like, that's what they told you? Like, that's not how this works. He said, I agree with you. I don't think that's what you have. And I said, well, I'm freaked out and I really need, I need some help with this, doc. Like, I'm fucked up. And so I went to see him. I had an appointment. We did blood work. And he basically ruled out from a blood work perspective what they had told me I had. And that made me feel really good because it was traumatic as hell to tell my family I had, you know, that the doctors thought I had this incurable disease that would kill me, that I would end up in a wheelchair, that I would go through all these different things. And seeing how it had killed my other family members, I was not happy. It was lazy medicine, what they did to me. And the day I got my revenge, I got to say I was right, and I got to say that things, you know, listening to my body paid off. And there's more to the story, but I don't want to tell you so much that I get overwhelmed because it's late and I want to go to sleep. But I just wanted to tell you, if you feel like you have this dogged determination, this drive, if you know something inside you doesn't feel right, follow that trail. Follow that trail. Seek a second opinion, a third opinion, or fourth opinion. Whatever it is you have to find, you find it. Because sometimes There's no greater payoff than a peaceful mind. And my test that I had done recently, it was broken up into two parts because it was an EMG study, and you can do them all in one day, but it's really painful. It's like you're getting poked and prodded with electrodes and electrical current, and it's not very pleasant. And my provider, he did a good job. It was minimally painful at best. He did a good job. And he just told me, he said, you know, your problem is not that, basically. And your EMG is normal. And I just sat there with this stupid ass smile on my face. And I'm sure this doctor probably thought, like, why is this woman smiling when I tell her their test is normal? Because he knows I want answers. He knows I will pursue the truth until I find it. But all I could do was sit there smiling because I remembered how broken that one medical provider had made me feel all those years ago, and how difficult that experience was for me, and how awful it was. And, you know, sometimes we have to choose our mental health and what's best for us instead of pursuing action. So the fight I had with that provider, I had to let go. And I've been told since then that they've improved, but I don't think I could ever forgive them. And I know people say you have to forgive people, but the truth is you don't. You can get closure without forgiving people. As long as you forgive yourself for your actions that you may have had, if you need to, that's all that matters. You don't have to forgive other people. All you have to be able to do is to forgive yourself. And today, maybe that's what I got. I forgave myself for even for half a second believing that that provider had been right. Really grateful. I'm really grateful for that, because the road to diagnosis is a bumpy one, and it's not always easy. And it's something that's really challenging and really difficult and frustrating, because sometimes you know something's wrong, but you may not always be able to tell. But all you can do is really what you can do. So you have to keep going, and you have to find an answer. And so that's what I did. And I'm grateful that I did. I had feared getting a repeat version of this test for 10 years. 10 years. It was terrifying to me. It was so fucking scary to me. And now I find out that my test was normal, and I can't get over how damn good that feels. So I wanted to share that with you. So I just wanted to tell you this week that wherever you are, it's okay. It's okay, because eventually you'll get your answer. And if you don't get your answer for what's going on, you will get it eventually. And sometimes it might even leave you with more questions. But the difference is, the next time it happens, you end up looking forward to the journey. In some strange way, it all starts to make sense. And that helps offset those bad days when they happen. Well, Spite Squad, that's the show today. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share to spread the message of health and wellness advocacy. If you'd like to support my mission, you can contribute via the links in the episode description. You can visit my website, inspitewetrust.com, for more information. Together, let's continue redefining what good health means. Until next time, stay empowered, stay spiteful, and keep pissing people off. I'll see you next time.